Presenting myself to be used by you any way you see fit. God, you know what is to be said to your people today. Right now, God, I ask you to consecrate me for thy service by the power of grace divine, my soul up to you with a steadfast will. May my will be lost in that. I thank you, God, for the opportunity to preach your word. I thank you for the anointing that will make preaching easy today. I give you praise, I bless your name, and I thank you. It is in the name of Jesus that I do ask this. Amen. Of course, we do honor the Lord. We thank Pastor Davis for giving me the opportunity to stand behind this desk today. I thank God that I have known for a little while, I've been in the book of Samuel and didn't quite know what God was saying, even though I was very familiar with this passage of scripture. I mean, I've read it a lot of times, heard it preached a lot of times, but sometimes when you go back, God will show you something that you overlooked. So I say to you, bear with me as we go through this. I'm not going to try to do the whole book of Samuel, but there are some things that I will have to read and speak to, because I'm sure it's something that God has for me as well as something for you. And let's go back. I will be basically in 1 Samuel 17. And I will pick up and lift up certain verses as the Holy Spirit will it to be. We already know from the reading what Pastor read that there was some fear going on. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And that 21st verse says, 17:24, and said, all the men of Israel, when they saw that man, fled from him and was not just afraid, but so afraid. And the men of Israel said, have you seen this man that has come up surely to divide Israel? Is come up. He's come up, and it shall be that the man who killeth him, the king will enrich him with great riches and will give him as his daughter and make his father's house free in Israel. And David spake to the men that stood by him, saying, what shall be done to the man that killeth this Philistine and take away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the Lord? And in the world, who in the world is this? Mm-hmm. Who do he think he is? Yep. And the people answered him after this manner, saying, so shall it be done to the man that killeth him. And you got to always know when God is about to use you in certain kind of way. Sometimes stuff can come up. Mm-hmm. In verse 28, then he said, Eliab, his eldest brother, heard him when he spake unto the men. And his anger was kindled against David. And he said, in other words, what you come down here for? Why camest thou down hither? And with whom hast thou left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know thy pride and the naughtiness of thine heart, for thou art come down that thou mightest see the battle. And David said, what have I now done? Is there not a cause? And he turned from him towards another and spake after the same manner. And the people answered him again as in the former manner. And when the words were heard, what David spake, then they rehearsed them before Saul. And he sent for him. And David said to Saul, let no man's heart fail because of him. Thy servant will go and fight with the Philistine. And Saul said to David, thou art not able to go at this Philistine to fight with him, for thou art but a youth. Mm-hmm. And he's a man of war from his youth. And David said unto Saul, thy servant kept his father's sheep, and there came a lion and a bear and took a lamb out of the flock. And I went out after him and smote him and delivered him out of his mouth. And when he arose against me, I caught him by his beard and smote him and slew him. Mm-hmm. So the servant slew both the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing that he has defied the army of the living God. Mm-hmm. Now there are some other verses that I'll be picked up, but I needed to just read some more for you to have some idea of what's going on. You might remember the last time I preached, I also had to talk about some giants in the land. I think if my memory serves me correct, I think I may have said, do you know what it takes to run and finish the race? Do you have what it takes to run and finish the race? And that text came out in the Old Testament too, was Numbers. And in Numbers 13, we had a record of the 12 spies being sent out to spy the land in Canaan. And of course, they came back with a report. But I want you to understand, sometimes when God tells us something, give us something, we might hear it, but we don't act on it. Now, God had already promised them the land. But they were wandering around out there in the wilderness for about 2 years. Mm-hmm. God had already promised, I'm going to give you that land on the other side of the Jordan. But instead of going on and possessing the land, they sent some spies to spy out the land. And when the spies came back, they came back with a partly good report and not so good a report. They said the spies reported was, yeah, it's a real good land, mm-hmm. but it was inhabited by many giants. So today, we're going to see some more giants. But out of the 12 spies, Caleb and Joshua saw the same thing that the other spies saw, but they had a different perspective. I heard Pastor talk many times, it's a matter of perspective. They tried their best to get the people to trust in God and enter Canaan. But guess what? They listened to the majority report and refused to battle their giants. Now, we're going to see there's another battle going on today between David and a giant called Goliath. But I'm going to submit to you today, as we walk through this scripture, I will pose this question to you. What giant or giants are you facing? Mm-hmm. What giant or giant are you facing? Now, because the people were so afraid, I can imagine that fear became their giant. Mm-hmm. For us, sometimes fear can become a giant. Mm-hmm. But now these people, instead of going on and possessing the land that God had, they just had to do some more wandering, another 38 years or so. Mm-hmm. So 38 years later, most of them had died out. It's a new generation. It's their children now. They ride back at the Jordan. So Moses, now the leader, is trying to tell them, to prepare them to enter into Canaan. And he does. He lets them know that they're about to face some giants on the other side of Jordan. You'll find that in Deuteronomy 9, 1 through 12. So what's the point? Israel fled from those giants 38 years before. Their children came back 38 years later. The giants were still there. Mm-hmm. The giants had to be faced. I submit to you today, all of us at one time or another will have to face giants in our life. Mm-hmm. The bottom line is, will you run from your giant or giants in fear? Will you try to avoid them, hoping that they'll just go away? Will you realize that your giants will not just go away? Mm-hmm. They must be defeated. Mm-hmm. Now, all of us know what a giant is. Some think of a giant as a human being of a great stature and a strength, or a person or a thing. And a giant can be a person or a thing of extraordinary power, significance, or importance. It's how you define what a giant is in your life. Some giants that we face may range from a number of things, but one bad one, a terrible one, is fear. Doubt is another. Unbelief is another. Pressures, worries, anxiety, depression, sickness, disease, and sin. Mm-hmm. And you see, most of these things that I just called out, this is some things that God has just told us. You don't need to worry. Mm-hmm. Don't be anxious for nothing. It only calls home. After anxiety comes depression. Yeah. Not all sickness is something that the devil bought. Sometimes God allows stuff to come in our life. In fact, he said many are the affliction of the righteous, but the Lord delivered them out of all. Mm-hmm. So whatever your giant is, or giants, I don't know. But whatever giant you're facing, it can be defeated. Now, sometimes giants can just look so overwhelming. Mm-hmm. And sometimes when fear comes, that's in tormenting. But we know God has not given us a spirit of fear, but love, power, and a sound mind. So if fear comes, it has to come from the devil, mm-hmm, or something you drummed up in your own spirit.
That's right.
One of the things that giants can cause us to do is to cower down in fear. We're going to see this as we walk through the lesson. Sometimes the taunting, the hammering, the cries that the giants make or make us feel tends to shake us. Sometimes we might even to the point that we even question what we believe. Please understand that the giant that you're facing, regardless of its nature, it can be destroyed and defeated. So the scripture text, Samuel 17, presents David as a young man fighting the good fight of faith as the scripture teaches. He was not afraid to go to battle with the giants of life and came to victory in the Lord. And most of you are familiar with the story of David and Goliath. I know I've heard the story ever since I was a little child. I've read it over and over. However, this time, instead of just focusing on David and Goliath and looking at David's faith, I see the lack of faith of the entire Israelite army, including Saul the king. Mm-hmm. David had faith. That's clear and apparent. But what I see is no faith on the part of that army. It was Saul's army. It wasn't God's army. So the Israelites was under the same covenant as David, yet it didn't have the same effect on him because they allowed fear to become a giant. Mm-hmm. Now what they did a little bit in terms of, so you know, every morning the Israelite got dressed for battle if they was going to fight. They took their place on the battlefield. They shouted war cries. They got themselves mentally ready for the upcoming battle. They kept doing this time after time, day after day. Now they tell me old Goliath went out 40 days every morning trying to divide and scare them. Mm-hmm. And I think he did a good job.
Yeah.
But I guess Goliath said, I'm sick of this. I'm going to do something here. So Goliath stepped forward to challenge them. And guess what? Their hearts melted with fear. They lost all the courage. And they failed to fight the good fight of faith. Now, God has told us that our warfare is not carnal, but it's mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. And we don't need carnal weapons in a battle that we fight. But I tell you, you better learn how to fight the good fight of faith. Because some giants, if you're not facing any now, you soon gonna face them. Mm-hmm. We need to understand that David was a giant killer. And you can realize too today that you can be one too. So hopefully as we go through the exposition of the text, we'll get some insight as to how this might be accomplished. But there's three things that stand out that David did. Number one, he exhibited the right motive. And we're going to walk through this. Number two, he embraced the right method. Number three, he expected the right miracle. Now, I know we've been talking a lot about miracles, the season of miracles. God is still working, man. And as the Rent-A-Clock quote say all the time, I'm looking for a miracle. So I imagine that David was expecting a miracle. A little bit, so that I don't have to read all the scriptures, as we go back and look in chapter 17, verses 4-7, we get a good description about Goliath. The Bible said he was 6 cubits and a span, which some say that amounts to being about 11 feet and 4 inches. Mm-hmm. Now we think 6 feet tall. Mm-hmm. He must have been a tall giant. The Bible said he had on a helmet of brass on his head, a coat of mail of brass plate, sort of laid like the scales of a fish. He had a large corset around his neck that was covering his shoulder. He has grease of brass on his leg. He was covered in brass. While it's true that Goliath was intimidating, fear for the Israelites became a big giant. Looking at verse 10 and 11, so here we have this intimidating giant, this defying giant, begin to say, I defy the armies of Israel today. I'm sick of this. You send me a man who will fight with me. Now you got to remember in this scripture, you're going to see or hear some things that may not always be preached about, but it's in the Word. But as we look at verses 12, 13, 17, and 18, David was the youngest of 8 children of Saul. David's father, Jesse, had instructed David to take some supplies to his brothers, who was already in Saul's armor. Now, a couple of things I want you to know. They are in Saul's armor, but David is in the army of the Lord. That makes the difference. But when he gets at the battlefield, he finds Saul and the army of Israel in fear because of the taunts and the threats of Goliath. They was moved by what they saw and what they heard. So David makes it very clear that he don't like him divine his God. And he's going to do something about it. So the first thing David exhibits that I see, he exhibited the right motive. When he spoke of killing the giants, people began to question his motive. Some people may have thought that David was motivated by the financial reward offered to him for the man who was going to kill Goliath. But if you read on down a little further in verse 25 and 27, 30, you'll see that his brother, the oldest one, Eliab, speaking out of jealousy, tries to accuse David of promoting himself in verse 28. And David's other brother knew that David had already been anointed by Samuel, because God told Samuel to anoint him. When they was trying to pick out who was going to be the next king, y'all know the story. Yeah. The Israel kept asking for a king. And they asked so much, God gave them Saul. He already know what Saul was going to be like. Mm-hmm. But God didn't choose Saul. The people did. God chose David. And he told Samuel to anoint him. So they felt that this brother felt like, oh, he's just trying to advance his name. So what was David's motive? Perhaps David saw the offer of Saul as a stepping stone to the throne of Israel. I don't think so. Little did he know that because of how God had called and set him apart for something, that he was going to face many trials. A lot of things was going to take place before he became the king in Israel. Mm-hmm. But as I read the text, as I began to think on it, as I began to meditate, I'm convinced that David's heart was motivated by two things and two things only. I don't think it was money. I don't think it was fame. I don't even think it was power. I think he was motivated by the glory of God. Goliath was mocking God of Israel, and David couldn't stand that because he knew what God had been to him.
Come on,
he has been his Jehovah Jireh, his provider, and his protector.
Mm-hmm.
So you ain't going to be talking about my God like that. And then David also knew that he had been anointed by God to be the next king. Now, just like David had protected his sheep from the attack of the lion and the bear, he would be protecting Israel from the attack of Goliath. Mm-hmm. So I think that was his only motive. So when you see giants you're facing in your own life, ask yourself this question. Why do I want this giant defeated? What is my motive for wanting this giant dead? An easy life? Bragging rights? power in my own eyes is over, so I can feel better, so I can feel important, so I can be on an ego trip. I will submit to you that there are only two proper motives for wanting to see your giants defeated. Just like David, a desire for God's glory. In fact, this should be the ultimate motivator for all life. He tells us in 1 Corinthians 10:31, everything we do should be passed through the filter of God's glory. Whatsoever you do, do it all to the glory of God. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, we don't always know what God's plan is for our life, but God knows. And we should always desire for God's plan to be fulfilled in our life, whatever it is. Mm-hmm. So it might mean we got to go through some stuff.
That's right.
But Romans 8:28, I think I heard Minister Ryder say that, and we know that all things work for good, together for good, to them that love the Lord and to them that are called according to his purpose. Mm-hmm. Not our purpose, his purpose. It may be a part of God's plan for you to defeat your giant. It may also be a plan by God for you to live with your giant. I remember he told him when Paul stopped thrice, he sought God thrice. And he said, my grace, sister, he said, my grace is sufficient. His grace is sufficient. Yeah. So you need to be willing to accept his plan regardless of what it is, where it takes you. See, there's no surprises with God. And if we're in tune with the Spirit of God, there shouldn't be any surprises with us. I submit to you this morning that there's one primary reason I think God used David to defeat Goliath. And that being because David had the right motives for wanting that giant dead. Mm-hmm. And one of the reasons you and I do not see our giants fall like that, sometimes we praying, but sometimes we're operating in the wrong motives. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Jesus.
Yes. Yeah. In fact, the Bible tells us in James, you ask and receive not because you ask amiss that you may consume it upon your lusts. Mm-hmm. So we don't need to be asking amiss. But sometimes out of ignorance and sometimes because we just want what we want and expect God to do it because we want it.
Amen. Amen.
Preaching.
So, I think the second thing is David embraced the right methods. Now, when David's plan to kill the giant reached the ears of King Saul, he started talking too, like a naysayer, telling David that he could not do this job. Mm-hmm. Look at verse 33. Then hearing that David was determined in this manner, Saul tried to put his armor on David. See that in verse 38. Mm-hmm. However, David rejected Saul's own because he said, this has not been proven in my life.
Yeah, right.
You know, well, it's too heavy. I ain't used to this. I bet David said, I know I can't lose with the stuff I use. I got the right stuff and that faith stuff. So David was determined that he would go to battle with the things that had already worked for him in the past.
Come on, man.
David knew that God will always come through in the past. Was still God, he will still come true in the present, and he wasn't worried. Won't no fear about him. David knew, like I think as Shirley Caesar said, he'll do it again, again and again. He'll always come true.
Mm-hmm.
He will not fail you.
Yeah.
He will not change, but he'll do it again. Just like Moses, just like Daniel, just like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, God will do it. He will protect me.
Yes,
I don't care how hot the furnace gets.
Yes.
I'm not going to get out of favor. I don't care how much they complain, Moses.
Amen.
You didn't get out of favor, even though you did so a few little things. Like Daniel, he didn't really care. But, you know, he knew that God had him.
Yes.
So that's the kind of attitude that we need to have today.
Amen. Amen.
I don't believe David knew anything about shields and spears and swords and all that stuff. Because he wasn't schooled in the army of Saul.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't know about the armor. I think the only armor he knew about was the whole armor of God that Ephesians 6 and 10 talk about. When he tells us to put on the whole armor of God that you might be able to withstand the wiles of the devil.
Because
the devil will come. And when he comes, he got a bag of tricks.
Yes.
And two things I know that he likes to use is fear and doubt. That's why Jane tells us, don't let no man think you're going to receive anything from God if you doubt. Mm-hmm. But David knew that God was greater than any giant. He also knew that God had a plan for his life. And that plan did not include him dying at the hand of Goliath.
Mm-hmm.
So when David went out to fight, he only took those things that had worked for him in the past. Mm-hmm. Remember now, he done killed the bear and he done killed the lion.
That's right.
Hallelujah. And we know he didn't do that in his own strength.
Mm-hmm.
So what did David take? He took his staff, his sling, and he took five smooth stones and the sovereign God.
Mm-hmm.
That's all he took.
Mm-hmm.
Hallelujah.
Come on, man.
Hallelujah. Somebody said, well, why did he just take five stones when he only needed one?
Mm-hmm.
And there's a whole lot of theories out there, and I'm just going to tell you what some folks say about three of them. Five in the Bible, they say, is the number of grace. There's that word again, sister, grace.
Mm-hmm.
And David needed grace to defeat the giant.
Yes.
Well, he did need grace, but I doubt that David knew anything about Bible numerology. So I don't know if five was significant at all.
Mm-hmm.
They tell me that Goliath had four sons, 2 Samuel 21:19-22. And somebody said David wants to be ready just in case they showed up.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the giant did have four sons, but David didn't know that at the time.
Mm-hmm.
I believe he had had a little talk with the Lord.
Yeah.
And the Lord gave him some
instructions.
But the most likely reason is that David wanted to be sure he could finish the job.
Mm-hmm.
He said, I'm going to go out and fight in the name of the Lord, and I'm going to kill that Philistine.
Mm-hmm.
He knew that he wasn't likely to miss. But just in case he did, he also needed to know, he also knew that the giant may not fall on the first stone slope. So he wanted to be sure. He wanted to be ready. He wanted to complete the assignment. What about you? What assignment has God given you that you have stepped? Oh, I'm talking to myself that I have stepped. God wants us to complete the assignment that he's given us. By the way, your giants and mine don't always go down on the first swing.
Yes.
But if you were going to battle fully equipped in the power of God, you keep your swing, the giant will eventually fall at your feet. I'm a witness.
Yes.
Yes, sir. Sometimes we try to try methods that's not godly.
Mm-hmm.
That's worldly.
Mm-hmm.
Doing what the people say.
Mm-hmm.
The people can get in trouble. You remember what it said? We the people say. We the people can get you in trouble.
Amen.
Yeah, so we don't need to try any method from the people.
Mm-hmm.
You can attest and attend all kind of seminars. You can read the newest books. You can get on the bandwagon and go along with people. You can pray the prayer of Jabez. You can strive for a purpose-driven life. But when it's all said and done, giant killing gets pretty simple.
Mm-hmm.
It all comes down to one basic, simple truth. The just shall live by faith.
Yeah.
And if you shall live and we shall live by faith, that lets me know faith is the stuff that we need for battle.
Yes.
He didn't tell us go and fight the giant.
Mm-hmm.
He said fight the good fight of faith.
Yeah.
But a lot of times we go to battle, spiritual war, trying to fight the devil. You ain't no match for the devil.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm here to tell you today, if you want to see the giants in your life, those that you're facing lying dead at your feet, then you need to know these facts.
Mm-hmm.
Number one, God is greater than your giant.
Mm-hmm.
Matthew 28:18 tells us so, and so does Ephesians 3:20. The God who works then will still work now. He don't change. Malachi 3:6 lets us know. You don't need any new methods to defeat your giant. Tried and proven weapons like prayer, faith, and the word of God will get the job done today and every other day. But you know, sometimes we be talking to God and it's a monologue, as pastors say, not dialogue. When we communicate with headquarters about the giant, we need to let the communication come back to us. Mm-hmm. See, sometimes we go to God, God, I need this. God, I want you to do this. God, our laundry list. Mm-hmm. And we're so busy telling God that when he speaks up, we don't even hear what he's telling us to do. Yeah. So you got to communicate with headquarters about your giant. Prayer, when you look at Ephesians 6 and 10, it tells you to pray with a what? All manner of prayer. Mm-hmm. When you go from 10 all the way down to about 17 or 18. But prayer is the thing. Prayer is the believer's greatest secret weapon. Because mm-hmm. you can communicate with the Father. Yep. And when you fear the Lord, not man, you get wisdom. Mm-hmm. And he said, wisdom is the principal thing, but in all that getting what? Getting understanding. Mm-hmm. So sometimes to get understanding, you got to listen. You might think you know, you might think you have arrived. But communication has always been an issue on battlefield. Mm-hmm. But that problem has been solved on the spiritual battlefield. The saints of God can be in constant contact with the throne of grace. Thank God for grace, sister.
Mm-hmm.
Thank God for mercy, which is everlasting. What we can do a lot of times is use a part of our weaponry, which is the Word of God. He said the Word of God is quick, sharper than what? Any two-edged sword. Cutting even to the division of soul and spirit. We don't even know where they divide. Even down to the bone marrow, which is inside the bone, which is a hard substance. So if we look at Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, look at what he did. When the tempter, our adversary, the devil, came to Jesus with the temptation, Jesus said, the word of God, it is written, you shall not tempt the Lord thy God. Mm-hmm. But you see, the devil won't stop. He didn't stop at Jesus, so he ain't going to stop at his followers.
Amen.
So no, he's coming.
Amen.
And he's going to try to make fear, doubt, worry, depression, all those things, sin, disease, make you fearful.
Yep.
And then that fear is torment. Now you need to understand, your giant in faith knows that God will always give you the victory.
Mm-hmm.
1 Corinthians 15:57 lets us know that either he will give you the victory over what you face, or he will give you victory in what you face.
Mm-hmm.
2 Corinthians 12:9. So we need to take our eyes off of what we see and pay attention to what the Spirit is saying to us. Now, you say, well, these giants, they come. Why did God allow these giants to come? Giants are not all bad in its sense. Giants are placed in our lives to help us to grow up in the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
We see that from Numbers 14:9. Somebody said, they just little bumps in the road. And so you just keep on going on your spiritual journey. Every now and then there will be a bump.
Mm-hmm.
But just because it's a bump, that don't mean you need to stop the journey.
Mm-hmm.
So don't rebel against the Lord, nor fear the people. If the Lord, and we know that he is with us, we don't have to worry about nothing else. But you see, when we go trying to rise above God, get on the ego trip and think we all this and that, we mess up.
Mm-hmm.
Moving right along. The third thing that David expected was the right miracle. How many want a miracle?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, need a miracle every day. The fact that I wake up is a miracle, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
But notice here, David, he had the right miracle. He was expecting the right miracle. David walked down that valley directly into what they would think is an impossible situation. He was doubted by some. Look at verse 28:33. He was ridiculed by the giant, verse 42 and 44. Yet his faith allowed David to accomplish everything that fear denied Saul.
That's right.
And his army. So as we look at this, we can see a contrast between the speech of Goliath and David verse 43 and 47. David declared the victory and the glory of God before the battle was ever fought. He was able to speak. God has told us we can declare, we can decree, but we always talk about what the situation is. But David didn't do that. He knew he had the victory. And that is a central thing of faith. It will allow you to give your victory speech before you even fight the battle. Because you know the battle ain't yours, it's the Lord's, and you know what the Adams would say. The context here, David emerged, engaged the giant into battle. He won over him. And because as I read all these things, I said, I'm going to change David's name to Faith. Faith took up the challenge that day. Faith stayed with God and what he had already worked with. Faith walked into the valley. Faith faced the giant. Faith hurled that stone. Faith saw the giant fall to the ground. And faith received the victory. Never underestimate the power of faith in your battle.
Amen.
Never, never. I'm about to be through here, but there's a couple of things I want you to see. And I got a question, another question. But as we go through this text, just think about it. When God did something in the beginning, way back in Genesis, first he spoke it, right?
Yes.
He said, let there be, and there was, whatever he said was.
Yes.
So I think David knew a little something about that too, even though he wasn't there in the beginning. So it looks like that David killed Goliath way back there in another verse. Did you know that Goliath didn't die in verse 49? He didn't die in verse 51 either. He died in verse 26 when David spoke it.
That's right.
Yes. So allow me to give you this little scenario. I think David dug his grave in verse 29. I think he gave the eulogy for Goliath in verse 36.
Amen.
And I think David had the grave fight rights and filled the grave in verses 45 to 47.
Amen.
All David had left to do in verse 49 to 50 was to walk by that grave and say, I told you so, Goliath, that I was going to kill you. You divide the army of the living God.
Yep.
Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. Now, you may not see your giants fall instantly when you exercise faith in God, but don't lose hope.
Right.
See, sometimes we just give up. If we had went another round, we would have won. You see, you cannot always, and you shouldn't always believe what the eyes see.
That's right.
We used to say the little thing, oh, be careful, little eyes, what you see, because your eyes can get you in trouble. Back so in Genesis, he looked and saw that the fruit was pleasant to the eyes. She did take and she did eat. Did she not?
Yeah.
Got her in trouble. It may look like sometimes that you're outgunned, outnumbered. It might look like an impossible situation that you're in. I'm sure it might have looked like that to some for David. It might have looked like that for Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. It might have looked like that way for Daniel. It may have looked like that way for the disciples in the ship. Lord, don't you care that we drown? They woke Jesus up. And it may have looked that way for Jesus on that cross. I'd just like to remind you that we serve a God, an awesome God, who specializes in doing impossible things.
Yes.
Right.
Luke 1:37 said, now if you bring that hopeless, impossible situation to God and go face it in faith, you will see him snatch the victory from the jaw of defeat. Because the word of God declares, for with God, nothing shall be impossible. Nothing, absolutely nothing. I'm about to end, but I want you to look carefully at verse 51. Look there. Therefore David ran and stood upon the Philistine and took his sword and drew it out of the sheath thereof and slew him and cut off his head therewith. And when the Philistines saw their champion was dead, they fled. They fled. That field got turned around, right?
Yes.
Now the question is, it's almost self-explanatory, but I'm going to ask it anyway. Here in verse 51, is the giant still there? Of course he is. He ain't now standing 11 feet, 4 inches tall. He's right. Laying because yeah. He's dead.
Yeah.
He's dead. David killed that giant, like he said. And he didn't do it in his own power, but in the power of God.
That's right. Yeah.
Before I go to my seat, the question remains, what giant or giants are you facing? Do you fear that it cannot be defeated? Well, I'm here to tell you it can. It can be defeated by the power of God. Ephesians tells us to be strong in the power of the Lord and in his might. But you're going to have to put on the whole armor of God to withstand the wiles of the devil. He didn't tell you to fight nothing but fight the good fight of faith. I challenge you today to bring the giant to the feet of Jesus. But you need to look at your motive. You need to get the right methods, which is God's method. You need to fight the good fight of faith. And you need to expect a miracle. Many times when God do stuff, we get so surprised. But he's a powerful God. He's an all-knowing God. He can do exceeding above all we can ask or think. So there's no surprises with God. But just know that if you have the right motive, the right methods, fight the good fight of faith, expect that miracle. God will give you the victory. Now, I'm finished, but I need to tell you, there's about 3 songs that was caught up in this message in here. And I dare say, 3 of them, all 3, it's not a favorite thing. Through it all, you got to learn how to depend on Jesus.
Yeah.
There may be some things that come. You need to take God at his word.
Yeah.
You need to trust his word. You need to obey him. Because when you're trying to do that, the devil, our adversary, will try to put everything else before us. Then you need to understand that you got to be clothed for battle. But the battle really is not yours, it's the Lord's. Your other Adams can sing this. So I'm going to give you about 3 little scripts on all of these songs, and then I'm done. Because I know the Lord. The Lord has caused us to have faith, and he don't want our faith to fail us. That's why we got to do the things that he said. He says, study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman not being ashamed, but rightly divide the word of truth. We got to rightly divide this word. Yes, indeed. But through it all, I learned to trust in Jesus. Through it all, I learned to trust in God. We don't need to let our trust go. But as Shirley Caesar says it, so you may be down and feel like God has somehow forgotten you. You're faced with circumstances you can't seem to get through. But it seems that there's no way. It seems like you're going under. God's proven time after time he'll take care of you. And I declare he'll do it again. He'll do it again. If you just take a look, look where you were and where you are now and where have you been. Well, he's always come true for you. He's the same now and then. You may not know how, and you may not know when, but he'll do it again. God knows what you're going through. He knows how you may be hurting. He sees and knows just your heart. He's the only knower. He can see that it's been broken. But he's the God of the stars, of the sun, and of the sea, and he's our Father. And he'll calm the storm. Oh, he'll find some way to fix it for you. Oh, he's still God. He will not fail you. Oh, he's God. He will not change. He is God. He's fighting for you. Moses, Daniel, Shadrach, and Abednego. You may not know when, and you may not know how, but he'll do it again. He'll do it again and then, just like with David. I like what Yolanda Adams says. She says, the Lord, the battle is the Lord. It's the Lord. Yes, it's the Lord. But in faith, you got to hold your head high. Don't cry. It's the Lord's. Yeah, it's the Lord. It's the Lord. No matter what you're going through, just remember it's going to be all right. He's just using you. God is only using you for his word, for his plan. Remember, the battle is not yours. It's the Lord. So if you remember nothing else, I say keep the words of these songs, and sometimes You just need to sing them and make a melody in your own heart. Because if you're not facing a giant right now, don't you fret. Because one will show up, and just like the devil, in a sense, like God, he ain't no respecter person. He'll come, and you know, it's something sneaky about our adversary. He don't announce himself, he just show up.
Amen.
And he'll try to catch you off guard. He'll try to wear your constitution down. He'll try to make you focus on fear. He'll try to make you die. All those things that can become the giant. And you see, if he can get you in fear, you're going to get out of fear. Now, you know it takes faith to please God. Without it, it's impossible to please him. But he says, if a man will please the Lord, he's not going to withhold anything. Go back and read that entire chapter 17. And you might see some things, even though as we learned that story earlier of David and Goliath, I missed some things. But as God had me going back, repeating and meditating, I saw things that I never saw. May the Lord bless you. Father, I thank you for your word. God, I believe it fell on good ground. I don't know who's facing a giant. I don't even know what mine is, God. But I realize giants are there. I also realize, God, that we can defeat the giant through your power, God.
Yes.
God, help us to fight the good fight of faith. Help us to be in communication with you constantly and cause us to hear what the Spirit is saying to us. Yes, sir, God. I thank you, Father, for this word. I thank you for this day. I thank you for the people that you have to hear. Now, God, cause that word to stir up in them what they need to do to be able to face, not only face, but defeat the devil in their lives. I ask it in